work is the front lines. They are the churches that are going into the highways and hedges and pulling them out of the pits of hell, literally hating the garments that is spotted by sin. It's an exciting work, but it's not for the faint of heart. And it's not for those that don't want their faith stretched. When you're involved in home missions work, your faith is going to be stretched. Hallelujah. And we're thankful for all that God is doing. We're thankful to have some home mission pastors with us that are on the front lines. And we're going to be working on all of that today. But it is my honor, my privilege to have Brother Wilbur King, our National Home Missions Director, a man that has come in this year and been a great support in our home missions department. And he's going to present something to you that has been a lifelong vision and passion in his life. And I'm going to let him tell you about it. Brother King.
Can I hear a praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Come on now.
Praise the Lord.
One more time.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you. It's my honor to be here today and be in this conference. Amen.
Yes.
I feel the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
I don't know about you, but I feel the Holy Ghost. God wouldn't be here if you weren't here. Because in each one of you, you got the Holy Ghost. And you bring God to church with you. Praise the Lord. I remember a little while back, I either read it or I was told. And this preacher, he was up here preaching, and he said, church, he said, this church you're going to walk. And the church says, let her walk, parson, let her walk. Then he said, church, this church, if it's going to move, it's got to run. And the church said, let it run, parson, let it run. And he said, church, if we're going to go anywhere, let this church fly. And they said, let her walk, parson, let her walk. So I'm here today to promote our home missions. And when I first came into this organization, it was just walking, just like this. And then all of a sudden it began to run. And now we want it to fly. Everybody say fly. And we have a way that we can make it fly that won't hurt nobody. Praise the Lord. I've been doing it for years. Right here we have a can that we want your coins. None in it right now, but you can fill it. This small can you take home with you, and you put your coins in it. Now, don't cheat. When I go to the store and I buy an item, they'll give me some change back, and I'll put it in my pocket. It may be a quarter, dime, nickel, penny, whatever. I put it in my pocket. I go make another purchase. I don't take that change out to get the change that they need. I leave that in my pocket and get another dollar bill. And when I get that change, I put that in my pocket. I go to a conference like this. I spend money. I take that change and put it in my pocket. When I get home, I may have $5, $10, $15 worth of change. I don't never miss it. And you won't miss it. If you just take that little bit of change when you come home and put it in one of these canisters. And it says, your coins make a big change for home missions. Now, we have these seats filled this conference. But next year, if you do this, we're going to be double this size right here. Our churches are going to double. Our congregation is going to double. Revival is going to be in every church. And then we ask the churches, this is for homes, every home. This tall canister is for the churches. Put this in your church, and when people come to church, they put the coins in it. They go out to eat dinner, and they put the money in their pocket, and they got some change. So tonight, when they come to church, they got that change in their pocket. Just walk up there and put that in that change in that little canister. Amen. Can you say praise the Lord? I guarantee you won't ever miss it. I said you won't miss it. But next year, you'll see more people here. The home missions will be growing, and reaching out and touching other people that never have been touched before. But your coins will help us do that. It'll help our home missionaries. It'll help our evangelists. It will help them to expand their ministry, and this big organization will go. Let's say praise the Lord. Give him a hand clap.
Amen. Well, if you do not have a change can and you would like one, they're on the back table back there. And would you please pick one up and take it home with you? I know for some of you, this may not work because some of us younger people may be living in a cashless society. You mark of the beasters. What we want to do as a home missions department is we're going to put together a national home missions offering Sunday, and we are going to ask that all of our ministers work in whatever capacity with their church, with what the Lord would enable them to do, and to take that offering. In Matthew chapter 2, verse number 11, the Word of God speaking here of the wise men, some call them the Magi. It says, "And when they were come into the house, and they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." And so our national offering program is going to be entitled Treasure for Christ. And there's something about the wise men that will bring a gift. Bring the gift of the Magi. Bring the gift of a wise man, and let's invest into our home missions program. The Word of God tells us in Matthew 6 and 21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So on November the 19th, 2017, this year will be our date. We ask you that you would prepare an offering and that you would send that offering in to the Home Missions Department. Everybody can help, because if we'll all work together, then we will be able to finance our dream and finance our passion. And so we've got here for you a nice pamphlet today. Brother Rainey, if you could give all the adults one of these pamphlets. Here's something that you could take home, put on your church bulletin board. This is something you could take home, put on your refrigerator to remind you that I want to be a part of the Treasure for Christ offering. Now, there is many different ways that you can get involved in this. God would give you a passion for it. You ladies could have a bake sale. Take the money and put it in Treasures for Christ. You could have a garage sale. Take the money and put it into Treasures for Christ. There's things that you can do. Put forth an effort and allow God to bless that effort. With this Treasures for Christ, we are partner with the AFF Youth Department and presenting a program that we've entitled Be a Youth Star. The idea here is that we want you to be a youth star and help lead wise men to Jesus. If it wasn't for the star, where would the wise man have found Christ? There had to be something shining brighter than the darkness, didn't there? There was a star that was shining forth bright. And as the young people today, We want to challenge you to become a youth star. In this program, we are offering a promotion for every young person who gives $25 or more to Treasures for Christ. We're going to publish your name on a star in the Pathlighter magazine and on the website of the Home Missions Department. We want to give recognition to our youth that are the stars in the AFF. Amen. Our young people are great. There's no age limit on it. Sometimes a three-year-old can get more money out of grandpa for the missions than the 16-year-old. So the Youth Star program is there. Encourage our children to go out and work for God and invest their money into the kingdom of God. So we've got a pamphlet here. Now this one is for all of our youth. Brother Rainey, give one of these to all of the young people. So our idea, our desire, is that you would work and be a part of this program, and we want to recognize our young people that have helped raise money to bring revivals to our home mission churches. I believe God's going to use this year. If we just had one revival, it would be worth all the effort and all the work that we've put into this program to promote it. But I want to tell you, I believe we're going to raise money and we're going to be able to have revivals in every home missions church in the AFF this year that's paid for with Treasure for Christ money. I believe it. Amen. So God is giving you a vehicle to work with. He's giving you an opportunity to put this into practice. Allow God to move upon you. Allow God to use you. Everything counts. Sometimes we may look at it and say, my $25 is not going to make a difference. Yes, it will. Your $25, my $25, somebody else's $25. We've got enough money to have a three-night revival in a home missions church. Amen. And we're going to see people baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. I have a storefront church. Real quickly, I want to relate to you of a lady that was spending her life and her only mobility was an electric wheelchair. Wherever she went in that electric wheelchair. And so they had some great churches spattered around in some of your great cities, but her electric wheelchair would never have gotten her there. Are you hearing me this morning? Her battery would have run dead. It was because God brought a church to Seminole, Oklahoma, that she was able to roll her wheelchair through the doors of that church. She was baptized in Jesus' name, and she was filled with the Holy Ghost. And I sung the song, I'm a One God Apostolic, at her funeral. It was a home missions church with just a handful of people. But let me tell you something. God was able to move. Amen. And I am thankful for the frontline work today and what God is doing. First, I want to hear from our home mission pastors that are here. Brother Powell, would you come on up here and greet this congregation today? He is doing a great work in Diana, Texas. Amen. I am thankful for men that are willing to go and to sacrifice, because it's not always exciting when you show up to church and you can count the people there on both hands. But let me tell you something. Home missions is making a difference in people's life. Amen. Brother Powell.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Good to be here today. And I'm thankful to be able to home missions. Seems very small sometimes and very discouraging, as Brother Aker says. But just this past few weeks, we've had a revival a month or so ago. And in that revival, I've seen two of my elderly people receive the greatest healing that they could ever receive. And I had a young couple. They've been in church practically all their life. And they'd been baptized before. They told me during the revival, says, you know, I got baptized, but I don't know why. Never was told why. So we taught them why, and they wanted to be baptized. Baptized them on Tuesday night of the revival. On Thursday night, she got the Holy Ghost. It works, church. It works. And I'm excited about what's coming up for home missions. I'd have loved for it to have been in operation a month or so ago. But I'm thankful that God blessed us, and he's going to bless more if we'll just do our little bit. Then he'll do his whole bunch, and we'll all make it.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Powell. Hallelujah. Revivals work in home missions. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Cook is starting a home missions work. Come, Brother Cook. Amen. Greet this congregation and tell them your vision.
God is so good. Hallelujah. I love the Lord. I thank him for his goodness, for his blessings, for his worship. That we feel his spirit, that we feel here. And I was sitting there thinking, and I had wrote down a while back, speak to the dry bones. And I, you know, of course, I was going back in my mind to Ezekiel, and I was thinking, you know, in St. Anne, we have not met him yet, but God knows where those dry bones are. And I was, when I was talking to my pastor before we opened up started the church there in St. Anne, I said, you know, Brother Tramble, I am not after the saints that's already in church around here. I don't want your saints, because I don't want your problems neither. But I didn't say that. I don't want your saints. I said, I want the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I want the lost coin. I want the lost. That one that is lost and don't know it's lost. The lost sheep knows it's lost, but it cannot find its way. The prodigal son knows it's lost. It just needs to know that the Father is ready for them to come back home. Hallelujah. And then there's that lost coin out there that knows it does not know it's lost. Does not know anything about being found. God help us that we can find that person that is lost but does not know anything about God. That is my desire, is to get the dry bones of those that is a army that is, whenever he prophesied, there was a mighty army standing and ready to conquer. Hallelujah. I love God, and I am expecting great things to happen in St. Anne, Missouri. Hallelujah. God is so good.
Thank you, Brother Cook. Hallelujah. He has a passion, amen, for the lost. These are the type of things that we are interested in facilitating. I know what it is to go to a city and preach and pray. Can I just be transparent with you for a moment? When I first came to my city, I called up a pastor that had a church about 20 miles away and said, man, can I come and visit your church every once in a while? And he said, no, I'd rather you wouldn't come see me. Amen. I know what it is to be out there and you feel like that they have turned you unto the wolves. But today, God has put together a great fellowship, and we're going to be there for our home mission churches. We love home missions. We know that it is a faith walk, and God's going to lead us and guide us, and we're going to be able to do greater things in the days to come. And the home missions department has a great love for our evangelists because they are the ones that are carrying the gospel to the United States of America on a daily basis. They have a great mission that they are accomplishing. They're out there reaching for souls to see them baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. And many, many times carrying great loads and making great sacrifices. So we want to hear from our evangelist today. Brother Greg, would you come? Amen. This is a man of God that loves God, loves this truth. Amen. And as an evangelist, Brother Greg, come and give us your passion.
Praise the Lord, church. It's been my passion ever since I realized my calling. Or maybe I should say ever since I gave in to the calling. Because when I first realized I was called, I got in this position right here and ran the opposite direction for 23 years. It scared me to death. But one day, God made a way that I couldn't run any longer. I almost lost my right leg in a boating accident. And so I'm laying there in hospital bed, backslid. I don't know if any of you have backslid or not, but I backslid. My. And my old pastor and his wife come to see me. And I had been backslid for about 13 years, 12 and a half, and they never broke contact with me. Every now and then I would get a phone call, I would get a letter, I would get a card through the mail. And they didn't give up on me. And I love what this preacher right here just said about the home missions. Because you see, that shows right there that they haven't given up on you or on me. My. But you know, let me ask you a question this morning, afternoon, whatever time it is, I don't even know. But what are you doing here? Seriously, what are you doing here? Did you come here to receive something? Hey, come on now. Did you come here to receive something? Or did you just come here to hang out? I believe even the smallest youth that we have came here for something. You know, Paul was preaching one time, and he seen this guy, and he recognized that this guy had enough faith to be healed. You know, he had never walked, never walked. But the preacher realized that he had faith enough to be healed. And he called him. He went over and he prayed for him. And the guy got up and walked. What kind of faith do we really have? I'm not a doctor basher. Hey, I go to the doctor. I'm an old burnout Vietnam veteran. That's what they label me anyway. Hey, if the shoe fits. But if we would just give God the chance, he wants us to prove him. And I believe in the divine healing message. Amen. I believe in it. I know men that don't go, women that don't go to the doctor. And you know what? Some of them's been told that they ain't got but just a few months to live, and that's been a few years ago. Praise the Lord. I just want to preach the Word of God. Amen. And help somebody come to an understanding of what the Word of God really is all about. Amen. It's for His saints. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Greg. Hallelujah. Amen. He has trailer and will travel. Brother McKimmy, would you come greet this congregation today? Give them your passion.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Hallelujah. First of all, I have to make a statement that at this point right now, I am not an evangelist. Brother Martin made me come up here. So, Pastor, I haven't talked to my pastor yet about it. All right, so Pastor Sessions, I know Pastor Sessions back there in a cold sweat right now because his associate pastor and his assistant pastor. So his associate pastor and his assistant pastor are both on this platform right now, and one of his former faithful saints is now a home missions pastor. So I guess that's his calling, is to just to put people out into the field. Hallelujah. No, but there's a verse in the Bible in the first chapter of Acts, the 11th verse. It says, "Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall also come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." But it starts off saying, why stand ye here gazing? And I think if it was me, I would have probably been gazing. Wow, that was an amazing thing to see. But the statement of why stand ye here gazing, there's a term in psychology that says, that states, it's called the bystander effect. And it's the tendency, and if I knew I was going to speak up here, I would have had notes, but I don't. It's the tendency of people, whenever they're in a large crowd, to gaze, to stand by, to be the bystander. If I were to drop a piece of paper here, a couple of these gentlemen on the front row would probably look at it and say, man, I would probably grab that and hand it to them. But they're all thinking in their mind somebody else is probably going to do that, so I'm going to take. So it's called the bystander effect. And unfortunately, in the church, it slips into the church. There's too many of us that, and I'm 45 years old, and I've been in the church for 45 years. I'm an apostolic, born, raised. I'm a third generation apostolic. I love this message. I love this truth. Hallelujah. But whenever I really look back and I say, what have I done for the kingdom of God? I can really honestly say I have been affected by the bystander effect. I was raised most of my life at Calvary Tabernacle, Brother Mooney's church in Indianapolis, you know, 3,000 people. And it was easy to be a bystander in that type of environment. I loved listening to IBC sing every Sunday. That was phenomenal. And now I'm in Lawton, Oklahoma, in our church, you know, well, I won't say how many it runs, but it's not 3,000, I will promise you that. Hallelujah. And I'm the music, and I'm the singer, and I'm this, and I'm that. But that bystander effect, there's a parable in the Bible, the parable of the talents, terrifies me every time I read it. And about that, the servant that got the one talent, and what did he do with that one talent? And he buried it. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy that took my one talent and buried it. Hallelujah. I believe God is calling people in these last days to no longer be a bystander. But if I can do anything, I can pray. If I can do anything, I can be faithful to the house of God. If I can do anything, Brother Akers, what you're talking about yesterday, I can get on a note card and I can write it down and I can put it in a mailbox and I can tell my neighbor that I go to church and that I love Jesus and they ought to come to my church with me. I can stop being a bystander, hallelujah, and step out in faith. Hallelujah. That's the hardest thing, I think. My daddy raised a person that if I needed to pay a bill, I went out and worked and worked and worked and made the money to pay the bill. Hallelujah. I have to step out of that role a little bit and act out in faith and know what God has called me to do. And God has called me to preach this word. Hallelujah. God has called me to do more than what I've done at this point. Come on, I know there's some people in this crowd. By the fact that you're here, it tells me that you're not just a bystander. Hallelujah. You stepped out and you've come to this place because you want something different in your life. Hallelujah. Come on, we need to be more than a bystander. Hallelujah. It's time as apostolics, we realize that we're filled with the Holy Ghost. We've been baptized in the name of Jesus. We have power to do more than sit on a pew. But we can go out and we can change this world. Jesus is coming back again. And there's not much more time for us to do what he's called us to do.
Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord this morning. Oh, can you stand to your feet and put your hands together? Dear God, allow me, Lord, to be a vessel that you can use, oh Lord. Allow me, Lord, to reach out to my world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated today. Brother Owens is coming. Amen. Tell us your passion, brother.
Thank you, Elder. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. I wish I would have known also. Amen. But I love the Lord. I'm here to tell somebody today that God's doing a great work. Amen. In our lives. Come on. Amen. I was not raised in the church. I was at a young age. Amen. I never had a dad that raised me in the house of God. He died when I was 8 years old. Amen. So I was never privileged to have a man in my life. Amen. As far as a father figure, we had a mother that raised six children. Amen. Right by herself. And amen. I'll never forget the story when God filled me with the Holy Ghost in 1985. My pastor, amen, began to become my right arm. Amen. Come on, somebody. We got to have a pastor in our life. Amen. Above everybody, we got to have a preacher. Amen, a man of God. And my mother told the story. She said, Brother Lipham said, I've got two sons. They're living out of motels. Said they're in the town of Winter Haven. If you just by chance would go by and let them know and see if you could find them. Amen. Come on, somebody. I'm headed somewhere. I'll be done in 5 minutes. Amen. Me and my brother was hooked on crystal meth. Amen. I couldn't even put another needle in my arm. Amen, to pull blood out because my veins would collapse. Amen, we walked out of that motel room that morning. Amen, can I tell you who was sitting in the parking lot? Amen, looking for two boys. Amen, come on, somebody. Amen, he said, what are you boys doing? Don't you understand you got a mother that's worried to death about you? I'm telling you right now, that was the beginning, amen, of a change, amen, in our lives today. It started with a man of God. I said it started with a pastor that cared, amen, about somebody. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, we live in a world today that we're so consumed. Amen. The brother Martin preached last night. And we're all under attack in our minds. And, amen. But Paul wrote a scripture. Amen. Of 2 Timothy 2. He said, wherefore I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. Amen. But I'm going to tell somebody, even though he was in bonds, amen, his spirit was still alive. Amen. And he was not bound. He was bound in his flesh. But the Spirit of God, the Bible said, but the Word of God is not bound. I'm telling every one of us today, we need to get the Word of God in our lives, in our children. We better get it back in our homes. Let our children know that the Word of God is not bound. He was in prison, but he was still writing to a young man named Timothy. I said he was in prison, but he was writing to Timothy. John the Revelator was on a lonely island, but he said, I got him the Spirit on the Lord's day. Our flesh will be bound, but the Spirit of God, the Word of God, is not bound. It's time for the apostolics, amen, to take the focus off of us. There's a Timothy outside that needs to hear what we got. There's somebody else living in motel rooms that needs somebody to reach their life.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Lord, for your delivering power, God. Oh, Lord, you're still setting a sinner free. You're still delivering. You're still doing your work of salvation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Amen. Brother Hunt is coming this morning to give us his passion. Brother Hunt.
Amen. If Brother Martin preached to nobody last night, he flat out preached to me and my wife. I woke up this morning with this scripture on my mind. Psalms 119:64. At midnight, I will arise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. We've heard it said many times through this. Brother Pickard preached about it the first night. We're in the 11th hour. Somebody even said, we're at 11:59, but can I tell you, friend, midnight is not a time to be scared. You see, midnight is a time of new beginning. You see, it's at midnight that yesterday, amen, becomes today, and tomorrow, amen, becomes today. Amen, when you look at the clock, a new day has dawned. I'm not scared about midnight, for I know the God of the midnight. Hallelujah. You see, when you look in military time, when it gets to midnight, the clock reads 0:00. Hey, praise God. Amen. Your midnight, amen, may be dark. It may be a time, amen, of pressure. It may be a time of discouragement. But can I tell you, as the psalmist said, the weeping endures for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to see some sunshine. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for the sun to rise. It's been a dark night. It's been a cold night, but I'm ready for God to come by.
Thank you, Brother Hunt. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet once again and put our hands together. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We can be a light at the darkest hour. Oh, God, we want to be that light into a world that is lost. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Jonathan Akers is coming at this time. Amen. Come and give us your passion.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is in the house. Praise the Lord. Amen. My passion is to see the edifying of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Whether they be just coming into the church, hallelujah, or whether they've been there for a little while, to see the building and the perfecting of the saints of God. It's one thing to have somebody come in and get the Holy Ghost and get to be baptized in Jesus' name. But the purpose is to see them make heaven, have those pearly gates click behind them. Until they make it through those pearly gates, they still need encouragement. They still need preaching. They still need a friend. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to say one thing. I know there's been some people coming here. It's been the theme that there's this, that 11 o'clock, that period, that darkness. And there's something about it. There's been talking about the song. But I have something in my spirit that's not been leaving me. Is that there's something about the gift of joy. Hallelujah. That fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. How was it that when they were persecuted, they could leave rejoicing, that they could worship God? Because when God gives you the gift of joy, hallelujah, you can be like Job. Hallelujah. And to stand up and say, hallelujah. Hallelujah, naked I came into this world. Naked I leave, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and it comes by rejoicing Amen. If there's one thing, hallelujah, that I want you to remember, hallelujah, no matter how dark it seems, if you lift yourself up and rejoice before God, if you begin to proclaim the mercies and the blessings of God. I already preached one time, a man of God was there, and he said, when I'm in a dark hour, I just began to remind myself and talk to the Lord and say, God, you promised to bless me. God, you promised to be there no matter what happens. It's in the word of God, rejoice not against me, O my enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise, and when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against it. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Hallelujah. When you begin to rejoice and proclaim the word of God, let the joy of the Lord warm up inside of your soul. God is still able. God is still the miracle worker. And go with joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a part of your witness. Hallelujah. Because, hallelujah, they can see the fake smile. Hallelujah. Everybody's out there trying to find something that is sustainable. Hallelujah. Happiness is fleeting, but joy lasts. Joy is something that is a gift of God. You keep going back. You keep getting filled up. It is something they are envious of, because there's no other movement. There's no other religion that offers the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is sustainable, that is solid, that lasts. Hallelujah. Get a hold of God. You know how you get joy? You rejoice. Hallelujah. Amen. When they were persecuted, Paul leaving the village, they shook up the dust off his feet. Hallelujah. And they rejoiced in the Holy Ghost and were filled with joy. Hallelujah. Because God was going with them. Hallelujah. Remember, God is with you. God bless you.
Amen. Can we stand to our feet? Hallelujah. And allow the joy of the Holy Ghost to put a smile on your face today. Oh, joy, 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 springing up within my soul. Joy will come from the inside and flow out if you will allow it to. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Brother Gowan is coming. Hallelujah. He lives over there in that foreign country called Mississippi.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I'm glad to be in the house of God today. My wife and I appreciate all of the friendship from the rest of our family we never met before. Amen. We're family, right? Yeah. Amen. Don't have a testimony like some evangelists do, some preachers that were out in the world. I received that we've always been going to church, but we come to the truth. I was 14 years old. I walked down the aisle at 14 years old, and God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful for the keeping power of God. You can live for God, young or old, if you want to. You just got to have the want to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is. I know it is. I'm thankful. I'm proud for God, and I'm not bragging on myself. There have been struggles. There have been problems. But God is the problem solver. Hallelujah. He's the problem solver. Amen. I've never drank a swallow of beer in my life. And I've missed some stuff. I've missed heartache and pain and passion from living from abstaining from those things. I know what it is to walk down the aisle of a school and be made fun of. But you know what? Because God put something in my soul, I learned who he was. He's not Bubba Jr. He's not Bubba Yahweh. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he does have keeping power. Hallelujah. He's got keeping power. Hallelujah. Brother Hunt brought something to my memory before this meeting today. About 27 years ago, when he come in the church where he was preaching revival, and my pastor had been working with him and his family and folks, and he accepted the truth. We appreciate that. Yeah. Hallelujah. It was in one of our churches that Dan just went to preach revival, and there was a lady in there that was fasting and praying for a need in her life. And it had been about 14 days she had been fasting. didn't have a lot of weight to lose, but during the course of the revival, I mean, she'd come to the altar every night. The days went by, and the weaker she would get. Till finally, a couple of the ladies in the church would have to help her to the altar during that revival. She was so weak she couldn't walk down there, and so the evangelist got concerned. And he said, Pastor, shouldn't you tell her to eat? And there's about 17, 18 days into her fast. And he said, I don't feel the liberty to do that. He said, what she told me was that her husband had left her 5 or 6 years ago. And she said, Pastor, I'm not going to eat a bite until I hear where he's at. If he's alive or dead, I have no idea where he is. He said, I cannot tell her to eat. So revival kept going on 20 days, 21 days, and they'd help her down to the altar. And on a Sunday morning at her house, the doorbell rang, and she stumbled through the house holding on to furniture and opened the door. And there stood that man that had been gone 5 or 6 years, not knowing anything about him, tears pouring down his cheek. And he said, Honey, I'm not asking you to take me back, but I'd like to know if you could let a sinner go to church with you today. Prayer works. I want to tell somebody in this house, it doesn't matter how long you've been praying, if you're sincere enough and believe God, you will get the answer to your prayer, because God loves you and he loves the object of your prayer. And if you'll just believe, you'll receive what God has for you. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, would you?
Come on, let's stand together. Hallelujah. Oh, there's somebody in your life you've been praying for. Let's pray for him again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. You may be seated. We're thankful the Lord has allowed us to be a part of the Home Missions Department with our passion and a love for people and to bring this gospel. And we're so thankful, amen, for Brother King and his zeal and his vision, his desire to go out and to help our home missions and reach out and to those even that are not of our fellowship and be a blessing in their world. And we want to reach out and let people know. And we just thankful for it. What God has done. And Brother King, would you come, amen, and wrap this up today.
Praise the Lord. What about this? What about this? Amen. Home missions is my dream, my world. Why? Souls. Souls. Everywhere you go, there's souls. I walk in motels and I testify. I testify. I walk in restaurants, I testify. Everywhere I go, I testify. You never know who you're going to meet or talk to. And I'm happy to reach out to a soul. I love souls. I love your soul. But you know what? This is wonderful here. Come on, let's say praise the Lord. David said in the 71st Psalm, Oh my God, when I am old and gray-headed, forget me not until I have shown this generation thy strength and your power to those that have come. And I'm looking at a church that will not stop. I'm preaching a message that will never die. And I see in this group here people that want to expand and build the church of the living God. And I'm happy that in my autumn of my life that I see young people, which is the life of the New Testament church today. And we need our youth. We need our young preachers. We need our evangelists. We need our home missionaries to help expand this. And I'm glad to be a part of it. And I'm glad to be a part of this movement. And I'm glad to be in the kingdom of God. And I'm glad in my dying age of years that I can see a church marching on for the Lord. And maybe somewhere, somehow, I've left a stepping stone for them to walk on. God bless you. We love you. And I pray that God would give us great revival throughout our organization. I love each and every one of you. I love home missions, and I love this church. Amen. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we love home missions. We're thankful for what God has done. And I am one that is one that loves to stay on schedule, and I'm on schedule. Amen. It'll be 12:30 in 3 minutes, and that is lunchtime. And so I'm going to get you out of here and be on time for lunch today. Be back here at 2 o'clock. We're going to have a wonderful, wonderful time. Amen. Brother Blevins, our district elder for Florida, is going to be preaching unto us, and you don't want to miss that. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Amen. We're getting ready to say a blessing over our food today. And thank God for all of the food. And how about the staff here? Haven't they done a great job of taking care of us? Thank you, Camp Bond. We love you. Hallelujah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy, dear God. Thank you, Lord, that we've been able to come and to hear the vision for tomorrow, oh God. We've been able to come, Lord, and know that the church is alive and well, reaching out to the lost, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for good men, Lord, that are sacrificing to do the work of God. Bless them in their ministry, oh God. Open doors for them, oh God. Lead and guide them, oh God. Anoint them and direct their paths, oh God. Oh, encourage and strengthen them today, oh Lord. They are your warriors. They are the mighty. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for them. We appreciate it. Bless this food today, God. Bless our fellowship, oh Lord. In the beautiful name of Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. You're dismissed. We'll see you at 2 o'clock.